Welcome to The Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, joined in studio by Ricardo Wells and John Mark Nutt. Gentlemen, the next time you are in an argument with your significant other and she tells you about karma, she may say she doesn't believe in karma. You tell her the story of the 2025 Dallas Mavericks. Because this is a story of karma and how it can be a positive thing in your life.
But which part of it? All of it? Where do you start?
I know.
Do you start with the season before when they made it to the championship and then everything happened after the fact?
I forgot about that. I forgot about the fact that they were in the finals two years ago.
This is like a miniseries of 3 years probably.
But the big thing that happened is the Lakers actually lost the trade. It's official now.
No. It's not official yet. I mean, it's still a little bit early for us to completely pass judgment.
No matter how they finish this roster out, Dallas will go into next season with the better roster. The only way the Lakers can go into the next season with a better roster is if they swing a trade for Giannis. There's no other way to improve this team.
Funny thing is, that may be the move for Dallas. But that is not... think about it. Everybody thinking the Cooper flag thing is a foregone conclusion. What if they use that number one and package that and go after Giannis right now?
The only thing that is guaranteed is Cooper flag will go number one. Mm. I think that's the only guarantee we have. We don't know to who, like you said, but there's another thing we know. Play the NBA rigged.
Fox.
I mean...
the NBA rigged. Fox. Because you were just on a WhatsApp group seeing what we are typing, right?
Yeah.
So Carter was watching it, and I was watching it on my TV, and I was like, no, boy. And Carter said, I can't believe it. No, what happened?
I was like 3 seconds behind. I was like, when he screamed, I was like, he said something along the lines, it's he going to Texas or something like that. So I had to go quickly to pull up the percentages. I was like, San Antonio had the odds, but why would he freak out like that? Because Sandra, then I was like, oh, no, it's Dallas who, because it came up like a couple. I was like, Jesus Christ, they had like the lowest percent chance to pull this off. And 1.8, I guess, is good enough.
And they did. I'm just... Anyway.
If we had a 1.8 chance
very powerful,
to win anything...
Very powerful owners is all I'm going to say. Very, very powerful owners that run the Dallas Mavericks. But so the Mavericks land the number one overall pick in the draft. But we're not here to talk about what happens with the Mavericks.
No.
The biggest part of the lottery for us is where Vijay Edgecombe is going to end up. So that is what this is all about for us. Like, yeah, we could talk about the Cooper flag stuff because that kind of...
So we talk about him pick two onwards.
So at the end, depending on where you have him slotted, I know you may argue that he's going number one, but most people have him slotted between the 4 to 8
spot. Oh, no. I think Cooper flag is going number one regardless. Like, if I was a GM, I was picking my boy Vijay. I'm just saying.
Yes, we know.
But I just feel like it's so much weird situations that could happen along the way that could upset the entire order.
Okay, here's what I wanted to say before the podcast, but I waited.
Go ahead.
Mavericks trade the pick to the Lakers for Luka. What would you do?
Cooper Flag is a setup.
No, he's not.
He's a setup.
No, he's not.
We needed a setup.
No, he's not. They just went through a series where they tried to play a small forward, power forward hybrid at center, and Rudy Gobert had 50 million rebounds.
So, see, this is the first problem. I know we want to get the VJ, but I have to ask.
Okay.
You're clearly defining Cooper Flag as not a center.
Yes.
So, is there a fight to the death between him and AD, or who's forced to play center now?
There's no fight to nothing. AD is going to have to do it.
Oh, wow. Like,
that's just...
Do you think Cooper could play a three?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think Cooper Flag could play a three in the NBA.
I think he might be able to.
That's literally what he's going to do.
Oh, boy.
He's not going to be a four. He's going to be a 3-4 hybrid. A small ball four, but a more prototypical three.
So you're saying
they
keep Kai Jones and put him at the five, AD at the four, and Cooper at the three.
I understand us being homers, and I love being a homer. It's a great thing. But you do know, they had, three people at that position ahead of
him. I understand.
See, this is even the argument, because Dallas does have, two other centers.
Yeah.
They have Gafford and Lively. Lively, who is...
Who was on the run with them to the finals.
So I just don't understand, and I know we again want to get to the VJ stuff. I just don't understand how this
structure... Do you want to get to the VJ stuff?
No, because I don't understand how this works out for Dallas. I just There's so much opportunities.
Well, here. Didn't Giannis come out today saying he would like to play in a state that doesn't have state tax?
Now he has two opportunities in San Antonio and Dallas. Mm. Nobody had them picked. Everybody was leaning to the Houston right after that comment. Great. Now everybody is like, well, Dallas or San Antonio, make your pick.
I'm not going to lie. I'm still not ruling out Houston.
How?
Houston is already further ahead than both of those.
But teams. Let me ask you the question. What package can Houston put together?
Oh, I don't know.
That outweighs, if he goes to San Antonio, that's the 2 under 14.
Yeah.
If he goes to Dallas, that's the number one pick, which is clearly Cooper Flagg.
But what pick does Milwaukee have? Because then they just have to swap that
I think Milwaukee's out of the lottery. I think
glad y'all asked. So while we're doing this, let's actually run down the results of the lottery so we can have some structure.
We just know it was cheating.
Dallas surprisingly gets the number one overall pick.
1.8% chance of
winning. Like Cardo mentioned, only a 1.8 chance, the lowest odds ever. A gambling sicko's dream. That would never happen. But it did in this case. Powerful owners. Number two, state of Texas, doing it big on draft lottery.
El Jefe.
San Antonio Spurs and Greg Popovich's first tenure as El Jefe. They land the second pick. I mean, possibly getting another rookie of the year. They could go for three in a row. At number three, completely rebuilding, Philadelphia 76ers. I don't know where they're going to go with that. Godspeed. Number four, this is where things get scary for me and the VJ Edgecombe bandwagon rest of us. The Charlotte Hornets. I had one of the best odds to get the number one pick. 14%. They dropped to number four. At five, again, this is such scary territory for the VJ Edgecombe bandwagon. Five is the Utah Jazz. Listen, from four to seven, VJ's got to go in the top three. Anyway, number six, Washington Wizards.
Yeah, definitely avoid there.
Number seven, New Orleans Pelicans.
Don't want no part of that.
Number eight, Brooklyn Nets.
That's impossible.
And now it gets much happier, number nine. So look, either he go number two or I need him to fall to nine. Because as me and John talked about on the last pod, number nine, Toronto Raptors.
That's a good city.
What is the fascination of, I understand Toronto, the city, but basketball reasons. That's like a loaded front court. Like, what are you?
Boy, I gave him no
basketball reasons.
I gave him no basketball reasons.
Okay, I don't care about basketball reasons. I just know they got Wemby.
Basketball reasons.
Look, and here's why we're gonna rope it into the VJ situation because no one else cares about. First of all, VJ ain't dropping past 76ers.
There's
possibility.
No, as sure as John is, no, I really, really, listen, I love when John be an extreme homer because sometimes I need that. Yeah. I need to rally around that. John has assured me that buddy going to score 40 tonight. I need to rally around.
I said 30.
Okay, there you go. And if he's telling me that VJ ain't falling past three, I need that because from four to eight, dog, I don't want to see him in any one of those
situations.
What's
San Antonio known for?
Tim Duncan. Being a great organization.
What else?
Drafting
international players.
Yes.
VJ got that over all of them.
Which is true. But you have the two guards from Rutgers.
I don't care who they are.
Bailey Harper.
Right. I think fit-wise, and this is where this draft lottery is so bizarre to me, because if you look at teams and their needs, it does not line up for the audits in. If you look at teams and potential, it still doesn't line up.
So we stopped at nine. I want to keep going for a bit to continue the lottery. Number 10, Houston Rockets.
Right.
Now, seeing a team that, as good as that team was because they underachieved by being eliminated so early, but as good as they are.
Is the Westbrook here and underachieve? Record-wise, but nah, talent-wise, they finish right where they're supposed to.
You are right in some respects because this is a really young team. They have building blocks for the future, and now they got the 10th pick. 11th goes to Portland, 12 goes to Chicago. The Hawks get number 13, and the Spurs twice in the lottery. The Spurs have the second pick and the 14th pick.
Yeah, that sounds like a bundle for Giannis.
This is going to be one of the most intriguing drafts I think we've seen in a long time, and
I'm calling it now. GMs would have to sit back over the next couple of weeks and wait options.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg is going to be a stud down the line. Mm-hmm. But this is a draft where you have an opportunity at Giannis Antetokounmpo or you have a chance to draft Cooper Flagg. Those are the two picks here. All respect to the VJ Edgecombe and everything he's going to do. All respect to the guards from Rutgers. But this draft's going to come down on your draft board to say, do I want Cooper Flagg or do I want Giannis Antetokounmpo?
And the crazy thing about it is every draft always boils down to the one versus two thing, right? Like that's the drama the NBA wants to build around right. the few weeks leading up to it or the months leading up to it. You don't have that this year, but like you mentioned, you do have, do you keep it and go with Cooper Flagg or do you make the move for Giannis right now? And I think that's based on where your team is.
Right.
I think that's based on if you have a win now mentality. If I'm the Dallas Mavericks and I look at the rest of that roster and it's led by 30-something year olds and it's led by 30-something year olds that have trouble staying on the floor, that ain't exactly a team built for the future.
Yeah, so what do? You blow that up and say, I take Cooper and then move on from Kyrie and AD? Where do you move them this offseason?
No, I go after Giannis.
So if you, who would you move in this? Again, this is where the discussion, who would you move for Giannis?
This is why I just talk on microphones and I don't sit in offices and decide how to build a team because I only know how to do that on 2K or using the ESPN so trade tracker.
Let's use the ESPN trade tracker. Let's use the 2K model. Who would you move on?
Why are you telling me do that before we start
the podcast? Fair point. Look, I'm just trying to figure out who you move on.
As I think with Dallas, if they want Giannis, they could probably afford to say, we're going to trade number two pick and then we're going to trade a future number one pick and another future number one pick, and that should be good enough. That's what I think. I don't think that they would give up any players per se. Now, it depends on how salary cap. Like I say, we behind microphones. We ain't know none of these numbers.
Yep.
All right. All I know is VJ is the best player in this draft. But
I love it.
It's something.
Standing on business.
Yeah, it's something where, like you say, Dallas is either going to get Cooper Flagg, the next White Hope, the next person they want to resemble after Luka, or they go for Giannis.
Cooper Flagg isn't going to be a phenomenon because he's white. Cooper Flagg is going to be a phenomenon because he's a white American. That is different. They have not had one of these.
Like a Larry Bird?
It is Texas.
I wouldn't go as far as Bird, but we know why they don't grant Chet Holmgren the warm embrace. We know why.
I mean, he is freakishly tall as well.
It ain't just that.
Very gangly.
It ain't just that. Awkward. I know what Chet listens to. I know how Chet moves. I've seen it in person. I know the crowd Chet is with. I know what Chet aligns himself with, and it ain't what they trying to align themselves with.
I get where you're coming from.
That's not what they want to sell.
I can imagine Cooper Flagg, whether in Dallas or in San Antonio, with an American flag, with all the bear, like I can imagine a fan base going after that.
I bet
a Chet, real American.
I bet Chet loved Wingstop.
He played for bad.
Chet was so into the Drake Kendrick beef. I know Chet could break that down. I know it.
That's crazy stuff.
I have no evidence to it, but I know Chet could break down the Drake Kendrick beef.
I'll pay to see it.
I'm telling you, I know Chet no bottle rap. Chet probably your favorite bottle rappers.
I just can't get over his height.
I'm just saying. So when we go to, when we look at where VJ Edgecombe might end up, and me and John have dished on this in the last pod, but I want to bring you into this, Cardo, because now at that point, we were just trying to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
One stuff we threw at the wall, and it might be happening, is Charlotte.
Where would you like to see him end up?
San Antonio. I think San Antonio would be the best option.
Before you continue with that, do you think he's going as high as two?
No.
Well, I want you to go with a realistic spot that he's going to end up. Because honestly, like all of our draft coverage is always centered around one question. We plug in the name of the player, and then we say where we're going.
So yeah.
We've been doing this since Buddy.
If we look at the present structure of the draft, it sucks to say, I think he's a Charlotte on it. It works out. I just don't see San Antonio with those picks keeping at two. That's why I don't see him going at two. But if they kept the pick and they had to draft somebody, I think VJ is the better fit. They already have sufficient guard play. They have De'Aaron Fox. I don't see them bringing in another point guard to run the offense. I think they need a slash, and I think that guy is VJ Edgecombe. But I just don't see them keeping those picks.
I scared. I might as well tell you, like, I scared.
Ever since the Kai Jones thing with the Hornets,
yeah,
that's what's scary. Like,
And now the owner of the Hornets is not going to be an NBC, like, so I don't know who's running the show.
No, I think he outed it, right? And he gave it up.
Yeah, but he's still it. Michael Jordan.
I have so much faith in VJ. Regardless of where he goes, he's going to be a good player. But I want it to be Charlotte.
It's not, and this is the thing about young players in the NBA, not even just the NBA. I feel like pro sports in general, I would much rather a player go to a good situation and a good organization than a good team. Because good teams go in ebbs and flows. Like, they could absolutely flame out. Good organizations continue to build. Like, we know the Spurs are a good organization. Yeah, of course, when there's turnover or when teams are rebuilding, you're going to have them down years. But if you have a good organization, like the Thunder, that is a good organization. No, they ain't win the championship yet, but you know that's a good organization. The Hornets ain't that.
No, I have to agree.
The Jazz ain't that. Brooklyn Nets ain't that.
76ers ain't that.
No, they ain't that. I don't want him to go there either, if he's being real, because I don't know what's happening with Joel Embiid. I don't know if he has anything left.
If you use that metric, there's no good teams left in the lottery.
He's got to go two.
We have to do two or bust.
If he don't go two, I need him going nine. So
nine?
Honestly, if he don't go two, Raptors.
How good is the Raptors? See, again, separate the city from the ball team.
I will never separate the city. You ain't never getting me to turn on Toronto. Never.
From a basketball standpoint, how good are the Raptors? How good of a fit? He's not a good fit.
Face of the franchise.
Something's bigger than basketball. Never.
I feel like the Raptors are a better organization than a lot of those other ones.
How? I do too.
How?
How?
Where have they been since?
Kawhi?
Yes.
They just need another Kawhi. That's VJ.
Mother sick. They just won.
RJ Barrett has not worked out.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would not say that. You can build around RJ Barrett, Scotty Barnes, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with Brandon Ingram, but Brandon Ingram is either going to stay there
or where do you listen to all those names you call. Where do you slot a VJ Edge come in now? This is what I'm saying. This is why this draft.
How do we not know they don't trade a bunch of things and then VJ is bam, the guy?
You know where you slot VJ Edge come in? The city. King Street. That's where you slot VJ Edge come in.
That's totally the York camera. But cool, I guess.
Gotto, some things are bigger than basketball.
Nine.
Like, I know we all about basketball and we all about seeing great things for his career and scoring 25 points a game. Yeah. Some things are bigger than the game. Some things mean more than just hoops.
Where Tracy McGrady start? Where Vince Carter start?
See how that ended in both situations.
Yeah, but how about the middle of the career?
Hey. All it was in Toronto was Dunkers. That's what y'all want for VJ?
What happened when they left Toronto?
Excuse me. That was a different Toronto. This ain't the same Toronto as that Toronto. Let's be real. That's pre-Drake. This different Toronto. Anyway, so if he doesn't go to Toronto, he's not going to go to Houston.
No.
Houston's got Jalen Green.
I think the first
he's not falling past nine.
For y'all's sake, I hope that's the case.
No, let's be real. I don't even think he's gonna end up at nine. He's gonna go in that mix of teams that we don't want him to go to, which means it's either gonna be Charlotte, it's gonna be Washington, it's gonna be Utah. It's someone that's starting completely from the bottom, and to me, it may even be New Orleans again. So we have to relive two terrible drafts for Bahamians. We have to relive that half a season Buddy spent in New Orleans or the years Kai Jones had in Charlotte. And I don't want to do either one of them.
No, I don't either. And that's why you just got to put it out in the universe. Wemby, De'Aaron Fox, VJ Edgecombe.
Don't forget Stephon Castle.
Yep.
VJ Edgecombe.
Okay, sorry.
Wemby. De'Aaron Fox.
See, when you go down the roster, you realize there's no space for him there.
There's space.
move Stephon Castle.
How?
How? Just say, hey, y'all want the rookie of the year? Rookie of the
year. But you know what the thing is? Right. Yeah, going to the Spurs, no pressure on him to perform.
Let's be real. You could win rookie of the year, but I think we know VJ Edgecombe's a better player.
I agree.
It's not that I don't think he's a better player.
This guy.
Again, you have to look at the organization of what San Antonio is. They built for the long term. I'm not trying to be the guy who, you know, knocks down the... No. VJ Edgecombe is going to be a dominant NBA player. I just don't see the perfect fit the way this draft lottery shook out tonight. I just don't see a good fit for him in the top five. And after top five, I just don't see a good team situation there.
See what happens when he plays with NBA players?
I agree. I don't like any of the situations from three onward, because I'm not in love with the Philly situation either. Be something that's going to mean something, I think Joel Embiid has to, have the offseason of his life somehow.
I think Philly is sort of the perfect situation.
For who?
Hold on. Hear me out. I feel like this is the offseason. If they move on from Joel, there's a potential package out there that allowed him to rebuild this team. I think VJ Edgecombe jumping into that spot, he could be the future of Philadelphia.
I will say I like the market, and I think the market has potential in ways that the Utah, Washington, and Brooklyn markets do not. So, I mean, listen, the run that the Knicks are on right now and what they are doing, Brooklyn, y'all gonna always be the 90s version of the Clippers in that city. Y'all ain't gonna never capture, they will never capture New York's heart. That ain't happening. And I don't want to see him just wallow in Brooklyn misery for the next few years. I'm just,
that's all just right. Not the move. So Joel's contract is $51 million. Who taking that?
Nobody. There's a couple of dips. With the right package, there's a couple of dips.
Paul George is $49 million.
Nobody's taking that. But Joel, you how much more he has on it, too?
I have no idea.
Paul George is out of there, though, right?
Yeah.
Paul George is out of there.
So I see Paul George as a buyout, go on to something else. Joel, I see him gone off in a trade, and that leaves the door open for BJ and Maxi to run.
That would be the only season. Okay. The only saving grace for that would be, yeah, BJ would have opportunity to step right in to the number two guard and be able to play with an elite point guard.
Yeah.
And if he plays with an elite point guard, that's going to make his life easier being able what he can do.
I like that. As compared to every other scenario we talked about tonight, that sounds better than everything else. That sounds better than Utah. That definitely sounds better than Charlotte. And that sounds better than Toronto.
Okay, so what
happens? Boy, that Toronto one tough, though.
No, we ain't listening to that. We're just going to head to the half before Toronto gets any more slander. When we come back from the break, we'll continue our discussion on VJ. And where are you going? Welcome back to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo Dorset, joined in studio by Ricardo Wells and John Mark Nutt.
During every draft lottery, the thing that happens is you need media narratives to drive and to shift where people go. As it stands right now, for most people, it's been a consensus that you got Cooper Flagg. And as strong as he's been slotted at number one, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey have been 2 and 3 on just about every other draft board.
Except Johns.
Except Johns. But that's the scary thing about it for us. So what we actually need, and all it takes, is one story. Because in basketball media right now, it's all about aggregation.
I think both of them fall.
This is what we
need. No top five team needs a guard.
So this is what we need. We need both of those to, well, that's not good for us because VJ is a guard.
No, but what I mean is VJ, you can move VJ to the three. He has more height on the.
I don't think so.
No.
That one I disagree. No, if you're going to be moving him anywhere, it's going to be more of a point guard.
No, not even there because I don't even want him to
shoot. I understand. But if you are taking VJ with his strengths and what he can do, it's more likely to be suited at the point guard level or ball handling than the three.
If he ever turns into that, then he's more of a Russell Westbrook Steph type of point. He's a shoot. If he ever plays a one for a team, he's definitely shoot first and not run an offense distributor type. To me, when we talk about player comps, or when we talk about the ceilings going to be like, or what we hope for him to be like, I think of Dwayne Wade. If I think of a player comparison, what he's going to be like, a better shooting version, but I think D Wade, in terms of what the ceiling is for what VJ Edgecombe is going to become. Why you do that look?
I could see it.
That's a short.
I don't think he's as strong as D Wade was.
Well, he was older. Yeah, he came into the NBA after
really does a number on you.
Yeah, he had 3 years in Marquette. VJ just freshman year at Baylor, so it's a different situation. But I think that's what. Or you know what? Now, I'm going to say this as this guy was coming out of school, what he was projected to be, not what his career turned out. Victor Oladipo. Coming out of Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad comparison.
I'd say that is a good comparison. We may scoff at it now because of everything that happened.
Injuries. Don't disregard my boy. He was a bona fide stud. He stayed healthy.
Coming out of Indiana, that's what he was. A guy who was 6'4", 6'5", extreme athleticism, could shoot, great defender. VJ Edgecombe. I don't know if he could sing as good as Victor Oladipo, but you know.
So VJ Edgecombe's draft combine stats: 6'4", 193, 6'7 and a half wingspan, 8'5 and a half standing reach.
And speaking of VJ Edgecombe's combined stats, that's the thing that's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You need the narratives around the combine. You need something. You need someone to start floating stories about how, wow, there was a workout VJ Edgecombe had with this team and he hit 90 out of 100 threes. Because honestly, that's what happened with Buddy. That caused Buddy's draft stock to rise when he started going to these workouts and people were like, Buddy just broke. I think it happened in the Celtics workout where they were saying like he broke a record for threes. When these things start to happen, because all of these people are copycats, and if we start to build the narrative around something that either causes VJ Edgecombe's stock to rise or Ace Bailey and Harper's stock to fall, then we get what we want. We but avoid the horrible teams. And I know where that story can start, right here.
But I've always said, I feel that the draft combine was always going to be a strong suit for VJ because he's going to go up against these players and he's going to show how explosive he is. I feel if, like I say, I don't know exactly what he's doing in the combine, if he's going to be doing the 5-on-5s and those stuff, but I think that his basketball IQ is so high that he's going to impress the GMs and whoever he has to impress.
Combine is this week, right?
Sometime, yeah. I think it's this week. But they have the measurements, so they probably started it today. But I feel that he's going to be on the 5-on-5s and show how mature he is at his age of playing basketball. Because like I say, watching him over the summer, last summer, you got to remember, he was still a high school player. But let's put this into context. It was VJ, Eric Gordon, Buddy Hield, DeAndre Ayton on the floor at one time with, it was either a Travis or a Tum Tum or one of those players. This guy's out of high school, was still in high school, getting ready for college. He already showed that he belonged at the highest level of FIBA basketball, just right there, playing with three NBA players. Averaged, it was 18 point some points a game he was averaging. So, see, the whole thing with this, like, when I look at the Baylor stuff that he's done, he was the target. Just how, like, when Buddy's playing and Steph's out, Buddy's the target. All
right.
Now, all of a sudden, you put him around players that could open his game up. I feel he is closer to a 15 point a game player in the NBA in the right system, like Wemby around them.
Oh, for sure. No, some guys are better. I get what you're saying. Some guys are better suited for the NBA than they would be in college basketball. College basketball doesn't show the full skill set all the time. Shoot, Jason Tatum is one of the clearest indications of that because at Duke, he was completely suppressed. I don't know why you would choose to go there anyway, but that's what you get. But much better NBA player. Even Karl Anthony Towns didn't get to show everything that he could do at Kentucky. Does VJ have a lot more? Yeah, I absolutely think so. So situation matters. I want to go to a segment now called Talk Me Into It. Because we're going to have to, if he ends up someplace that we don't like, we gonna have to talk ourselves into it. That's just what it is. That's a part of what being a homer is. We gonna have to talk ourselves to it. We may not like it, but we're gonna have to talk ourselves into it. So I wanna start with that number four pick. Let's say VJ does go to Charlotte. Cardo, how you gonna talk yourself into it?
I like the city a little bit. So let me, Charlotte is somewhat cool. So I always, like, if I'm going to a West Coast city, that's the stopover. Yeah. So there's a couple of times I've had to, you know, spend the night in Charlotte. So it's all right. Basketball-wise, I don't like the organization.
You see,
John,
the way you have to talk yourself into it is you have to convince other people.
I know he can do it. Okay. Watch him.
7 o'clock games.
Strong take. Good what?
That means they're done by 10 p.m. That's strong.
So attractive to someone who's 40.
See? But this is what I'm saying. You got to talk.
Charlotte is in what? The Atlantic end of the Eastern
Conference? Yeah. Also, right? To cover his games, when he goes on those road trips, those cities are pretty close to, so like when you go to DC, New York, Philadelphia, like it's quick trips. So you could probably hit like, you could go 10 days and hit 6 games.
A lot of direct flight cities.
Yeah. We got plenty. You could fly from here to Charlotte every day.
All right. So
I mean, driving that body.
Though. Are you driving from here to Charlotte?
No, not from here. I mean, those East Coast cities.
Yes.
New York, you can take the Amtrak. Philly,
All right. So
Jock kind of went me over a bit. He talked me into it.
Basketball reasons. Okay, so a pro for Charlotte. Obviously, you play alongside a dynamic point guard, LaMelo Ball. You have someone with a high usage rate, but also somebody that would... I think LaMelo is itching for a great running partner. I think him and VJ would be amazing together.
Mm-hmm.
Con.
No cons. Not with VJ.
It ain't about VJ.
What are you talking about? City. Ain't Toronto.
It ain't about the city. My biggest problem with Charlotte, they ain't got no OGs. And OGs are desperately needed in NBA locker rooms, because when you just have a bunch of YNs in NBA locker rooms, what happens with... That's literally what Charlotte is. You've seen the problems they've been having the last few years. That is what I don't like, and that is what I don't want VJ to go to.
Roster.
So you're telling me VJ's got to come in and be a veteran?
And that's a horrible thing for a rookie to have to do.
Don't be a veteran, did
I? There's no... A rookie should never go into a leadership position, because how the hell would they know how to do that? They just went from having to go to class.
And what we said with that, with Charlotte, I think is the same thing with Philadelphia. If he gets drafted, like, all the same scenario, I feel is the same, except I feel that Maxey would be more of an elite guard with him.
Philly's a better situation just because you have Maxey and Embiid, by far. Let's go New Orleans Pelicans. John, talk yourself into it.
You cannot have a worse start to a season than Buddy Hield had with the New Orleans Pelicans. The bar has been set very, very low.
Hey, there's no Etuan Moore.
No Etuan Moore. But I can see once he hits more than one free throw in a game, it's a better start.
Cardo, talk yourself into the New Orleans Pelicans.
You know how I feel about New Orleans. The city is nice, really good food. So what else you need to say? It's a horrible flight. That's the con.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Even though they're a West Coast team.
They're not a West Coast team.
No, they're a Western Conference team. Oh. That's what I meant. My bad. Western Conference. The times are still good with the game.
Still good times, but still good times.
Because I think normally they tip 8:30.
Yeah, 8:30 starts. Okay. Basketball reasons. It's my job again. So it all hinges on, is Zion Williamson ever going to be what he's going, what he's supposed to be,
right? I
think we
have to accept the fact, no. Which I don't even think you plan your stay in New Orleans with Zion in mind.
Which is crazy, because I think before Cooper Flagg, the last rookie that was this hype was probably Zion Williamson coming into the league, who people expected to have, like, okay, I mean, other than Wemby. Like, yeah. Wemby was supposed to be coming out of college, I should have said. And it just so happens the same school. But coming out of college, I think Zion Williamson is probably the next one I could think of who was supposed to be this dynamic, change the game right away kind of guy. And to be fair, when he's been able to play, he has been that. He has been that. The thing about it is, he ain't been able to play.
See, you're right. I just always have to give this kind of grief with Zion, because even when he's super healthy and all the way there, he's never changed the pace of a game. Like, I've never watched his eye on NBA game and been like, he's the best player on the court.
I think I've had that.
I've never had that experience with Zion.
You know the problem?
Against who?
You know, but you know what the problem is with that, though? This is what happens when you don't play meaningful games when the spotlight is on. Because it's not like Jalen Brunson just turned into this guy, but people know it now.
Yeah, fair point.
He was doing that. And the thing about it is, what I would like about New Orleans is, I would like for VJ to spend his first few years playing with CJ McCollum, because
that's the bet.
That is great for someone to teach you how to be a pro. So that's not horrible.
I love how you skip two teams.
Who would I skip? No, I mean, I wasn't going in any
order. No, but I'm just saying Utah and Washington.
Oh, we're going to go to it next. I was going off the dome. All right. We swing it back to you first, Cardo. Cardo, the Utah Jazz. Talk yourself into it.
I've never been to Utah. I don't know anything except BYU and the Mormons. I'm very, very scared about that.
Y'all know AJ, whatever his last name is, great super recruit for the next class. You know he's Jamaican?
Yeah. What?
I didn't know that.
The one who's getting $8 million NIL?
Yeah.
It's all good for him.
How?
Mummy, daddy, grandparent?
What do you mean, how? How are you behaving? I don't know.
Fair point.
Utah.
They come and join. Oh, you didn't talk. Okay.
I don't know nothing about Utah. All
right.
When I went to Portland, I flew over Salt Lake City.
You could tell the teams we really don't want.
It was nighttime. But the only thing I can say about Utah is got some good sightseeing.
The Jazz play in Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just never knew. I just, Utah is one of those states where everything is just one. So I didn't even know, like, okay, fair point.
Yeah. So okay. All I can say is they got good sights.
I don't even like know what? Who plays.
Like mountains and things. If you like the mountains and snow-capped mountains, like the scenery is nice there.
So Christmas vacation.
I feel I'm like, not saying all of that now.
I feel like we could walk down Bay Street and we could ask people to name three members of the Utah Jazz and not a single person would be able
current?
To do it.
Taylor Hendricks?
Yes. Current members of the Utah Jazz.
I don't know one.
I think most people would still
John tell Clarkson is still playing there?
Yes.
Okay.
I think most people would still tell
you. People in Utah, do you remember when they interviewed Jordan Clarkson? When they say, how many Utah Jazz games you've been to? Perfect. And he's like, yeah.
Perfect. Were? They don't even know him.
No.
The only talk yourself into a thing you can do there is Dwayne Wade as a part owner. And maybe
I know that's enough.
Right, that ain't enough.
I know.
Get tickets to the game?
But yeah, I know. All right. Moving on. John, Washington Wizards, talk yourself into it.
Well, just like Charlotte, East Coast, very important with the time.
Boy, whenever we start with that.
Yeah.
And not who on the court.
And direct flights, right?
Jesus Christ.
At least we know people who live in D.C., so we could actually, actually go there. And I feel, and this is the thing, we're not even talking on the court. No. I feel because we have an embassy there,
yeah.
They could protect him. You know, they could make him an ambassador one shot.
Yeah, third basketball playing ambassador. The other sports could get jealous. Cardo, talk yourself into the Washington Wizards.
I feel like that's a good situation from a city standpoint. I love Washington as a location. There's a lot of good places to visit there. Of course, you have the White House and all that other stuff. But away from that, you could go up to Georgetown. Very, very comfortable for people of SU. Good little spots there up there. So, yeah, it's a lot to do. And then as a Mets fan, so I can watch the Nationals and the Mets play every now and again. Make it a 2-4 when I stop over.
You want to hear the corn?
Go ahead.
Jordan Poole is the leader.
There's no way Jordan Poole could be on the team next year. It's just no way.
Is Kuzma on that team?
No. He's the reason Giannis leaving Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
You gave up Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton.
That's how much we don't know about these teams.
He's terrible. Jordan, the Wizards were running out. The Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma tandem to lead their franchise into the future. And that flamed out miraculously. In
Bro, I don't even understand how you go from a weird duo like Bradley Beal and John Wall to a duo Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole. Like, who's making your decisions up there?
And then they send Chris Middleton there for his career to die.
Nah, he could be.
Do we have to try to talk ourselves into Brooklyn? Because I don't think he goes that far.
How far is Brooklyn?
8.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, okay, let's find this will be the last one then. Let's talk ourselves into Brooklyn.
Is Brooklyn, bro? Is Brooklyn? Like I say in basketball reasons it's a good spot, but it's Brooklyn. That's not from my last job into Brooklyn.
It's Jendy when Kai got drafted.
Yeah. And y'all didn't enjoy Brooklyn?
I've never been to New York to do anything other than work.
You mean vacation.
Every time I've been to
VJ ends up in Brooklyn, he's gonna have the time of his life.
No, I get, because he went to school in New York. So, yes, no, for him, it's a good thing for him. But he ain't a number 8 overall pick. Now talk yourself into number 9.
Hold on. Let me finish flesh out the Brooklyn thing first. Because all this time, I actually did not think about that.
You know? Yeah, no.
I did not think about the fact that your high school career is there. You already have an established fan base. That is a great pro. My biggest con to that is you will never be the lead dog in that city. I think Brooklyn could be going to the finals and they will never get what the Knicks are having right now for the second round.
No,
I know.
I don't think so.
What? It ain't gonna happen, bro.
The Knicks?
You know why? Because the Knicks unify that city. You have Mets and Yankees fans. You have Giants and Jets fans. Everything is splintered other than basketball. You just have Knicks fans.
But let's keep it a buck. They ain't really a New York team. They transplant. Again, that New Jersey stench on them is never going to go away.
That's the problem.
So they're the Clippers of New York.
Yes.
That's what I said.
That's never going to go away. I don't care what rebrand. The only thing you could do is make that team so hip-hop, make it so, like, cultured that you kind of draw the line between we're not the Knicks.
And that's
what the Clippers tried to do, and it's still not taking off.
That ain't working. And I still don't think you will ever be able to pull them away. You would need like 20 years of the Knicks being cellar dwellers and 20 years of Brooklyn being one of the best teams in the league.
I hate to break it to you. That's kind of what we did the last 20 years. The Knicks were awful. The Nets had so many chances to get over the top. They tried the Paul Pierce KG thing. They tried the KD Kyrie thing. Like, they had so many opportunities.
And look how quickly it shifted forever once the Knicks got slightly good.
Just made the playoffs.
But I hate to say it. I think VJ would like, I think that would be his ideal spot. He looks like the kind, I've never met him in person, but he seems to be the kind of player who buys into the idea that me being the guy is going to be a good
thing. Wherever VJ goes, I have no doubt in my mind that he is going to be a rookie all-star. He's going to average 20 points a game.
Wow.
And he is going to be the guy.
I don't know what else we say about that. You will find 10YS for live draft coverage because we will be there. We're going to bring you as much as we possibly can for the draft. It's going to be a content smorgasbord. We are going to bombard you with information.
Welcome to the offseason of Giannis.
It's the offseason of Giannis. Next time we talk about this, we will be probably doing it from New York. We'll be doing it from Brooklyn. And all of the things that we said that were cons, we're going to lie to those people's faces and tell them that we love this and this is all pro. And we hope he ends up in, right?
No, he's going to San Antonio.
All right. See y'all next week.